All right, good evening, everybody. As always, we're going to raise two questions. Not always, sometimes we do three, but tonight we're going to raise two questions, and you'll tell me which one you're more interested in discussing. So the first Shaila was, I have a very good friend who happens to be a caterer. He was running some Pesach programs this year, and he was... before Pesach, a couple of days before Pesach, he was checking on one of the programs. It was a plane ride away. It was not close by. And just as a formality, he had to get COVID tested before flying. And on the Wednesday before Pesach, he tested positive for COVID. He thought it couldn't possibly be true, so he got tested. It was a rapid test. He got tested again with the PCR. By the time the PCR came back, he had no doubt that it was true. He felt very, very ill, and he ended up in a private villa somewhere on some island somewhere where he couldn't, all alone for the entirety of Pesach. And then he came out of quarantine after Pesach was over. Baruch Hashem, he had a refuah shleima. He came out after Pesach was over, and it didn't even occur to him. Someone said, "Whoa, you really need a haircut." He realized that he was planning on getting a haircut a day or two before Pesach, but because of the quarantine requirements, because of COVID, he was unable to get one. And now it's Svira. So he wants to know, is he allowed to get a haircut now during Svira, considering what was going on right before Yontif? That is Shaila number one. Shaila number two. I got an email today from somebody that said as follows. Hi, Rabbi Leibowitz. Thank you for answering my previous Shaila. I hope you had an enjoyable Pesach. I have one more Shaila to ask. My wife's Hebrew name is Sipora Rivka. I said Sipora as in Samach. Samach Yud Pei Vav Reshe. Sipora Rivka. Yes, it's spelled with a Samach, not a Tzadi. Her parents named her for a grandfather whose name was Yosef. They didn't like Yosefa, so decided on Sipora with a Samach, meaning, I guess, assuming the Samach and the Pei are parallel letters that appear both in the name Yosef and in the non-name Sipora. Therein lies the issue. Her whole life, people have mispronounced her name as Tzipora. Teachers in school even accused her of making up Tzipora with a Samach. Nearly every Aliyah Mishaberach I've made in our 24 years of marriage has resulted in the Gabbai saying Tzipora, not Tzipora. I finally gave up trying to correct it. The issue came to a head when our son, learning in Israel, told us his Rebbe and Rosh Yeshiva didn't believe it was actually her name and gave him a hard time about it. Our question is, should she consider changing it? My in-laws are no longer alive, and she would feel badly about changing the name that they gave her. But with all the mistakes made by nearly everyone she's met throughout her life, she's concerned that there may be spiritual or hashkafic ramifications we aren't considering, and if it was recommended that she change her name, how would she go about doing so? Thank you again for your guidance. Okay, so those are two Shailas, and the answers are... two, but I'd like to know the answer to one. Two and two, agreed. Okay, so it looks like two is the winner, and we want to know the answer to one also. All right, so remind me in the last 2 minutes to go through the answer to one. So what are the issues with Shaila number two? So the obvious issue is changing a person's name, and how you would do that, and what would be a good enough reason to do that. Is that something you take lightly? Is that something you say just because a person is unhappy with their name that you can change the person's name? That's the obvious issue, and we'll talk about that. The other issue to discuss in this context is the issue of Kibbud Av V'Em also, meaning the parents gave that name because they wanted to give that name, and not just because they wanted to give that name, that was their way of honoring their parents, meaning they were naming her after her grandfather. So can you undo that? Meaning if a parent wanted to name you after a grandparent, so can you undo that? Undo that connection, that spiritual connection that you have with the grandparent? So first of all, as far as the halachos of Kibbud Av V'Em are concerned, as we've said many times, the Gemara Maseches Kiddushin tells us, Mechavda b'chayv u'mechavda l'achar moso, you have to honor your parents both while they're alive and after they are deceased in very different ways. The way we're mechavda l'achar moso is to be reverential toward our parents in the way that we speak about them. However, even b'chayav, the halach is kibud av is mishal av and not mishal ben. It's unclear how much indignity one must suffer as a result of kibud av v'em. There are stories in the Gemara that make it seem very very clear that people were willing to suffer tremendous indignities in order to fulfill the mitzvah of kibbut aveim. And yet, when it comes to money, the child doesn't have to spend any of his own money. There are poskim, I think Rav Moshe writes somewhere, that if you would be willing to spend money to avoid these indignities, then that's considered like a money issue, and that's like Michelle Ben, and you're not obligated in kibbut aveim. If this is so embarrassing for her that her children keep getting called out on this, and every time they say her name in shul, it's frustrating because it's wrong, that she would be willing to pay. Let's say you would say, there's a $500 charge to do that, and she would be willing to say, no problem, I'll do that. So one could make the argument that this doesn't fall in the category of kibbut av. It's also not clear that this falls in the category of kibbut av lachrimoso at all, because it's not about speaking reverentially about a parent. It's about, this is just about the parent liked when they heard you being called this name. You're never being called this name anyway. So it could be that it's not an issue of keep it off at all. What about changing a name? So it's important to realize the significance of names. It's well documented in Chazal that names are important. The Gemara in Brachos of Zayin tells us that a person's name can often determine what their lot in life is going to be. The Marsha tells us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sometimes acts in accordance with a person's name. The Gemara says that Rus was Zocha to have David as a descendant, having something to do with her name. And the name of Rus is alluded to in the phrase Shiros v'sishpachos, which is a reference to the songs and the praises that were written by David HaMelech. The Medrash Tanchuma in Parshas Hazinu tells us you have to be careful in choosing a name for his child because it could predispose him to certain tendencies. The Medrash goes on to show how each of the Meraglims who slandered Eretz Yisrael had a name that would indicate a predisposition to that kind of Avera. So what about changing the name of a person? So the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah Daf Tes Zayin Amud Beis gives us four methods of changing a Gzar Din Min HaShemayim that has been made against a person. And they include giving tzedakah, is Mekarin Gzar Din HaShel Adam, tzaaka, crying out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shinoi Ma'asav, changing the way one behaves, and Shinoi Hashem, changing a person's name. And based on that Gemara, the Ramah in Yerodea, Simin Shin Lamed Ches Sif Yud, says that there's a minute to change the name of a person who's dangerously ill, because you're trying to change the Gezeira against them in Shemayim. Sefer Chassidim, he says that some people have the practice to sell the patient to a different family rather than change their name, and that way they'll be associated with a different family because you're concerned that there's been a decree on not the person but the Ben so-and-so, and by selling them to a different family you're sort of saying that they're no longer Ben so-and-so. That's not the popular minhag anymore. In the Agos Makor Chesed in the Sefer Chassidim, he says that where that's where the name Meshulam comes from, as if, you know, he's been paid for, you know, he's already taken care of in terms of moving him from one family to the other. That's what I saw in the Sefer called Kuntros Ziv Hashemos on page 100, footnote 12, that he suggests that the name Tachlifa or Chalafta that you have in the Gemara sometimes originates with such an arrangement where they switched someone, they sold an ill child, not actually sold him, but did this kind of thing in order to switch him. We don't do that, but we do change the name of a patient. So when you are changing the name, this is an interesting discussion. Do you change or do you just add a name? And Sefer Tamei HaMenachem, he quotes the Sefer Rachmei Ha'av, who says that not just anybody can change the name of a sick person, only someone who has a sense of Ruach HaKodesh, a person who's on a very high madrega, because the name is a very significant thing, so it's not something that we take very lightly. So we generally do not take away the name the person was given at birth. When we're changing the name of somebody, we generally would just add to the name. So if the person's name was Yaakov, we'll call him Chaim Yaakov, or something like that, in order to just add to the name. There's they say from Rav Avadia Yosef that Rav Avadia Yosef writes rather in Yabia Omer that based on Kabbalas Rabbeinu Ha'ari, we learn that every person is Mekabel Chiyuso Mishorish Ha'osios Shel Shemo, that you get your Chiyus from the letters of your name, because every Os has Ashpa'a on a person. So Rav Avadia writes, and there are many poskim, that you should never take that away from a person because you might be removed removing his chiyus. And he says that's based on, so we have to be choshesh that you might be taking away his chiyus. And therefore, he says, the minhag is we don't uproot the name, we just change the name. Like if a person's name was Yosef, you'll call him Chaim Yosef or something like that. Now, we dafka have a minhag of adding nicer names, but over here, that's not our topic, really. We're not really talking about adding a name. We're talking about removing a name. You know, as far as when you do change the name of a person, in Shuvas Minchas Aluzer, in Chelek Dalet, Simchav Zayin, he says that when a person had a name added because of illness, the new name should be his first name. His old name should be his middle name. But if he dies from the illness, then his child should be called to the Torah with the new name as his middle name, his old name as his first name. I think the more common practice is they just drop the name entirely if he dies from the illness, because they see that it didn't work, so it never takes hold. I believe when Rav Belsky, Zichrono Livracha, passed away, by the time of his Petira, he was no longer Rabbi Yisrael Belsky. He was Rav Chaim Yisrael Belsky. They added a name in his previous illness, and then he had somewhat of a miraculous refuah. We had another few years of pretty reasonable health, and he was able to be productive for Klal Yisrael before finally succumbing to his illness and passing away. So he was Rav Chaim Yisrael Halevi Belsky. You know, there are other reasons though that one might change the name. The only place Shulchan Aruch mentions a minhag to change name is about a sick person, but the idea behind that could apply to other things as well. Rav Sternbach writes in Tshuvos VaHanhagos Chelek Aleph Simin Tuf Shin Sadi, he was asked for different ideas and skulas for a couple that had been married for 10 years and they didn't have any children yet. So he had a number of suggestions, and one of his suggestions is that the names of the parents may not be perfectly compatible, and that may be the cause for the lack of children, and maybe they should change the name of either the husband or the wife with the hope that the new name will be more compatible in the eyes of the Ribono Shel Olam. Once the new name becomes well known, then the ksuba should be fixed to reflect that change as well. Also, the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva Perek Beis Halacha Daled says that if one of the methods of doing tshuva is to change your name, so apparently, and that's your way of saying that in Yoso Ish, I'm not the same guy that did all of those averos. Generally accepted practice, obviously, when we do tshuva, we don't actually change a person's name. Many will change for a shidduch, for example. Let's say you're makbid about Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid, who says you're not supposed to marry someone the same name as your mother, or a guy with the same name as your father. So they'll add a name. Right? Rabbi Moshe Feinstein, we've often pointed out, had two sons-in-law, both of them named Moshe, but they weren't named Moshe, meaning Rav Tendler Shlita is Rav Moshe David Tendler. So it's not exactly the same name. I think Rav Shiskal also was, I think Moshe was his middle name, if I'm not mistaken. I forgot already what Rav Shiskal Zichron Levracha, what his name was. In addition to this, though, you also have to take a step back over here and say, what did the parents do over here? They gave a child a name that was just like made up out of thin air because it had a similar letter, a name Sipora. So, you know, there are no rules in terms of what is and what is not a name. Whatever you call the child is the child's name. But nevertheless, there are some names that are deemed totally inappropriate, right? The names that there's only one halacha about naming a child. The Gemara says that Shem Rasham Yerkov, you're not allowed to name after a Rasha. So, like, it became popular in Israel and some of the Chiloni circles in Israel to name children Nimrod and Izevel at some point. That's entirely inappropriate. The best thing to do in such a case, l'chora, would be to change the name. There's one of the websites that gives over the Psakim of Rav Vadi Yosef, it tells a story that there was a guy named Omri, and Omri, Ayin Vav Mem Reish Yud, was a Melech Rasha, one of the Malchei Yisrael was a Melech Rasha, in Melachim Perek Tezayin. Vayasa Omri Hara Be'inei Hashem, Vayera Mikol Asher Lefana, Vayera Mikol Asher Lefana. He was more evil than all those who preceded him. So they came to Rav Vadi and they asked him, should they change his name? And he says, absolutely, you should change the name. You should, and not just add a name. You don't just add something cheerful to Omri. You change it entirely. And then they tell the story that, right, Omri Caspi. I forgot about that. Is it with an ayin? I guess it's probably that same name. Yeah. So, in fact, the Rosh HaMemshala, Arik Sharon, had a son named Omri also. And Rav Vadia thought that, he said, Admasai Rishayim Yalozu, was Rashi Tevos Omri. You know, he was unhappy with some of Arik Sharon's policies. Okay, we're not going to get into politics right now, but Rav Vadia had a lot to say about politics also. But one should realize that it's not a simple thing to give a strange name either, meaning not just the name of a Rasha, but a strange name is also not a simple thing. Rav Vadia writes that in general, Rav Vadia was very straightforward in Psak Halacha. He, I'm sure, knew all of the Kabbalah Svarim, and he was, you know, a big bucky in everything. But in Psak Halacha, he didn't allow that to affect him. He dafka made an effort that none of the heebie-jeebie stuff made its way into his Derech HaPsak. It's always in Derech HaPshat that his Psak Halacha comes out. He didn't get involved in skulas or anything like that. But when it came to names, he was very makbid. And you can actually find videos online of people asking Rav Avadia. There's a video someone sent me today when I was telling them I was looking into this, of someone asking Rav Avadia, there's a guy who had a baby and he wants to name his child either. And he gives like a list of four like made up Israeli names that aren't names. So which one should he choose? He said, Avraham, you should call him Avraham. So they said, that wasn't one of his choices. The person's not dati. He said, Avraham wasn't dati or lo dati. He was one of the avos. So call him Avraham. He was one of the avos. So he was not into this this idea. One time, a person came to Rav Vadia to be a sandik for his son, and Rav Vadia asked, "What's the name going to be?" And he heard that they wanted to give the person a name that he didn't think was the right thing. So he gave an eight, so they should give a different name. And he did that all the time. All the time that would happen. He would tell them, if he's going to be there at the Bris, he would tell them, that's not the right name. There was one situation where someone, Rav Vadia was doing the Kriya Shem. He said, V'yikari Shmo B'Yisrael. And the guy said, Chafetz Chaim. Rav Vadia said, no, that's the name of a sefer. It's not the name of a person. He said, call him something else. So they called him something else. Or another time, I don't know who would saddle their child, whatever. But another time, it was time for a shachris in Rav Vadia's house. And the father came in and he told the Gabayim that he's the Avi Abbas. And that when he gets an Aliyah the Torah, he wanted to name his daughter. And he asked Rav Vadia to be the one to do the Kriya Shem. And when the father got up to the Torah, he said he'd like to call the daughter by a certain type of fish in Arabic. I don't know what the fish was and what the name was, but a certain fish in Arabic. So Rav Vadia said, that's not a name of a daughter. So the father said, I'm from Tunis, and our minhag is we call our children by the names of fish. That's a skula, neged the ayin hara, because fish, you know, the Gemara tells us that v'yidgu l'rov bekerav ha'aretz, anami zara di Yosef, that anyone who is a descendant of Yosef, lo sholto ba'ein abisha, the ayin hara is not sholet on someone who's mizara di Yosef, because a fish is not susceptible to ayin hara. So the father said, that's our minhag. We call after names of fish in Arabic, because it's a skula to be saved from ayin hara. Right, that's the maysa that Rav Aaron Kahn-Shlita likes to tell. That when he was in yeshiva, he said one time he was trying to give us an understanding of the kinds of lebedik personalities that used to be in yeshiva, and he said you don't know what like excitement was in learning until you met Rav Gorelick. He said Rav Gorelick one time ran into the Beis Medrash, grabbed Rav Kahn by the lapels, and said, "I got it! I finally got it!" And he said, "What? What did you get, Rebbe? What was the chiddush?" He said, "Fish are not subject to ayin hara. It's because of refraction." He said, "What?" He said, "When you look in the water, it looks like the fish is there, but it's really there because the water bends the rays of light. So you're never really looking at where the fish is. So it's not subject to ayin hara because you're not looking at the fish." He said, "Oh, okay, nice." So that was Rav Gorelick's chiddush. But there is this idea that fish are not subject to ayin hara. So that's what this fellow was telling him. So Rav Vadia said, Rav Vadia started speaking, softly to him, and he sort of pressured him into just giving his daughter the name Sarah. And then after davening, the father was really upset. He said, you made it that I couldn't name my child what I wanted to. So Rav Vadia heard his complaint, and he said, listen, when your daughter gets older, I want you to tell her what you wanted to name her, and then tell her that Rav Vadia Yosef saved her. She has a normal name, so he was, but it's not just Rav Vadia. Meaning, it's not appropriate to saddle a child with a name that's not really a name, and it doesn't, if it's not recorded anywhere. You know, it used to be in the times of Tanakh that we would give people new names because we were naming people based on Ruach HaKodesh, so based on the circumstances of the birth. You know, all the Avos and Imos were named that way, and the Shvatim were named that way. Ru'uma Bein Bini Uben, right. You know, the Uben Chami, you know, you have different, throughout Tanakh, you have people that are named based on Aruach HaKodesh, but the Medrash already points out that we don't have that anymore. We don't have that same level of Ruach HaKodesh, so we have to work within a certain framework. We're supposed to work within the framework of names that exist. Now, one of those frameworks that we work within is naming after family members. That is a very reasonable thing to do, and that's what the Medrash highlights, that you're supposed to name after after family members if you have who to name after within the family. So that is entirely appropriate. However, that's only when you're actually using a name. If you don't like the name of your family member and you're going to make up something that's not even a name, that doesn't seem to be the most appropriate thing to do. Now, given that's irrelevant, meaning it's our Shaila, because it's not, she's not asking whether she should name her child. She has this name. She's been given this name at birth and has been using it her whole life. It's on her ksuba. So it's not about whether the parents did the right thing or the wrong thing. Also, just by the way, there is a discussion in Poskim whether naming a girl after a boy or a boy after a girl is appropriate. Apparently, I don't know anything about this, but apparently Al Pi Kabbalah, that's not a great idea to name one gender after the other. So even if they would have called her Yosefa, it's not so pashut that that's what you're supposed to do. There's some discussion in Poskim about it. In fact, even within a single gender, the Chazon Ish is recorded as having said that that when you change a name at all, it's not the same name. And that's Maisim B'chol Yom. We always do that, right? If the Zaydi's name was Avram and the other Zaydi's name was Yitzchak, so you call the baby Avram Yitzchak, even though nobody's name was Avram Yitzchak, right? So some of the poskim say, wonderful, so you got the kochos of both Zaydi's. But other poskim say, no, it's inappropriate. You named after nobody, because the name is the entirety of the name. And if the person doesn't get the entire name, then you haven't really named after anybody. So that's so it's likely that the name that she has is not really her name, meaning it's not really the name of her grandfather anyway. What does it accomplish? What it accomplishes usually when you do something like that, when you name a Yosef after a Yosef or something with a similar sounding name or something like that, a similar meaning name, what it usually accomplishes is it gives comfort to an almana, or an almon. It gives comfort to the spouse of the person that you're naming after, or sometimes to the children. It's a kavod to the children of the person who passed away, who very often are the parents of the person doing that, meaning the grandparents of the baby. So it's always nice to give kavod to the grandparents of the baby and to make them happy and to make them feel good. They should never pressure the children to give one name or another. That's not really their business. The parents of the baby are the ones that are gifted with the Ruach HaKodesh, but it's a nice thing to do, meaning that's no small thing. Even if you're not really naming after the person you think you're naming after, it's a good idea if you're able to keep Shalom Bayis through giving a nice name, so that's a nice thing also. But to stop make up a name out of nowhere that because it has one or two letters that are similar doesn't seem to really be a great idea. Now, so what should this woman do? She has this name Sipora, which is a strange name, and no one ever gets it right anyway. It's never really used anyway, but it feels like a chutzpah to go change her name. So while there is a Misha Berach you can make in order to change your name, like we do for a chola, there is another simpler way to change the name. And this comes up in Evin Ezer. If, let's say, you have a person who had a name and then the shame was Nishtakach, they were never ever called by that name in any official or unofficial context. So then the name just goes away. It falls away on its own after some period of time where it's completely nishtakach. I don't know exactly what that period of time is, but if she just simply stops using the name entirely, she doesn't use it in general anyway. She's called by her English name, her friends call her by her English name. So she never uses the name Sipora anyway. So tell the husband to stop, to stop using it by Misha Berachs, to just call her by her first name, by Rivka, not by Sipora, and tell the children if anyone ever wants to daven for their hatzlacha or whatever, that they should say that their name is Ben or Bas Rivka, not Sipora, and then after some time it will be nishtakach. Now the problem with that is, the downside of that is, at some point you probably have to change the ksuba also. Meaning, if her name has actually changed, you're probably going to have to change the ksuba to take away the name Sipora to rewrite a ksuba, which is not the biggest deal. It can be done fairly easily, but probably at some point that should be done. So that's what I suggested. I suggested just stop using the name. And if you stop using the name, then the name won't be there anymore after some time. So her hesitation was, if I stop using the name, then it really cuts me off from my grandfather. And I'm really connected to my grandfather. So I said, no, you're not. Meaning, you were connected to your grandfather in the sense that it brought comfort to your grandmother probably when you were named, and that it made your parents happy. So good, it made your parents happy, and that's fine. But I don't think it's not the same name anyway. It's not your grandfather's name. It has nothing to do with your grandfather other than the fact that it made your parents happy and your grandmother happy, which again is no small thing. But they've already been made happy and now they're not going to be unhappy because there's no one to be unhappy anymore. So I thought it could just be and it would be perhaps a chisaron and kibud av or a bizayon to the parents to go and make a whole maimed out of it that they're going to go and they're going to change the name, change her name with a Misha Berach or whatever in a public way. So don't do that. I thought better not to do that and just let it fall away on its own. Kach nira la nias daiti. Now, as far as Shaila, how about last names? What about last names?
No, people like with Israel, they change it. They make it like that Israeli name. Is that an issue with that as well?
I don't think so, because the last name's not really a name anyway.
Okay.
So, now, right, Rabbi Rakefet, right? He was not Rakefet until he moved to Israel. As far as the other Shaila, so it's an interesting idea. What happened to this fellow was that he was stuck before Yontif. The Mishnah talks about this in Maseches Moed Katan. It says certain people are allowed to shave on Chol HaMoed. Who are such people? People who were traveling right before Yantif, or were Bebes HaSurim in jail, or something like that, right before Yantif, and they couldn't travel, they couldn't get a haircut on Erev Yantif. So you would think this guy would even be allowed to shave on Chol HaMoed, get a haircut on Chol HaMoed if he wanted to. There are two problems with that. Problem number one is he was in quarantine on Chol HaMoed. He's not asking about Chol HaMoed, he's asking about Svira. So that's an easy problem to get around, because Rav Vadia writes, quotes a Prima Gadim. The Prima Gadim writes that anybody who's allowed to shave during Chol HaMoed is for sure allowed to shave during Svira. Svira is much less severe than Chol HaMoed. Chol HaMoed might be a Din D'Oraisa. Svira is a Minhag. So definitely much less severe than Chol HaMoed. So if he would be in the category of someone who's allowed to shave on Chol HaMoed to get a haircut on Chol HaMoed, then he's for sure in the category of someone who's allowed to get a haircut during Svira. The other problem, though, is a more significant one. What was I going to say? What was the other problem? That the Shulchan Aruch says that when it comes to Chol HaMoed, you can only a person who is sick before Yantif cannot take a haircut on Chol HaMoed. That it's only the specific cases mentioned in the Mishnah. This guy was sick. He was not in a Beis HaSurim. He was not in a jail. He was not locked up or anything. So l'chora, he doesn't fit that category. Now, one could argue that he was locked up, because the whole chiluk, the Mishnah Berurah says, the whole chiluk between the people mentioned in the Mishnah and someone who's sick or had some other onus is, the whole chiluk is, is how public it was. That if everyone realizes that he couldn't shave before Yantiv, then it's okay to shave in Chol HaMoed. But if it's just his own private thing that happened, then no one would realize. When you have COVID and you have to do contact tracing or whatever, tell everybody you've been in contact with, and you've been and you're quarantined for a whole Yantiv, not with family or whatever, it could be, especially when you're running a Pesach program and you're not seen, it could be that that's considered a Davar Shel Faresia and therefore fits the category of the Mishnah. Either way, l'chora, it would seem that there are a few studim to be makel during Sfira itself. Ramosha writes that if it's going to ruin your Parnasa, you're allowed to shave during Sfira because they were not knowing b'makom hefsid. This person is a caterer, a high-end caterer who has to rub elbows with very wealthy people who want a very good presentation and they want him to look good also. So I would think that alone would be a good enough reason. Rav Soloveitchik famously compares the Avelis of Sfira to the Avelis of Yud Beis Chodesh, and Yud Beis Chodesh is actually Yugru Bo Chavero, and the only reason he realized he needs a haircut was because Ga'ar Bo Chavero. Someone told him, you look terrible. So I think there is ample room to be makel. He does have another option, though. He could just keep the other days of Sfira, right? And he could just, when he asked the question, it was earlier this week, I said, you could just get a haircut now and keep Sfira from Rosh Chodesh until the end. I'm not sure that he really has to do that because, again, the minhag of Sfira probably does not include this situation. Okay, I'm already past my time, so I'm going to wish everyone a wonderful Shabbos.